Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. I'm going to try to do this. I wasn't going to do this song, but I feel like the Lord's saying He wants me to do it. He really brought it just to practice it. Yahweh and me. We walk together, sharing our hopes and dreams, and fighting in each other. Lord, what could I do? Is it possible to make your dreams come true? Do you have a need that I could meet? Is there something I could do for you? Yahweh and me. We walk together, sharing our hopes and dreams, confiding in each other, sharing our hearts, dreaming together. To make your dreams come true. Lord, do you have a need that I could meet? Is there something I could do for you, Jesus? Think about it. Do you ever pray that way? Lord, what could I do? Is it possible to make your dreams come true? Do you have a need, Lord, that I can meet? Is there something I could do for you? Is there something we could do for you, or is it all just only about me and my need? You have a need that I could meet. Is there something I could do for you? Is there something I could do for you? You know, when God gave me that song, I know some of you have heard this story, but when God gave me that song, it was with a vision, and the vision was a little girl and her dad, and the little girl was this cute little girl about 5, and they were in the park, and they were playing together and walking together, holding hands, and just hanging out, and they were sharing each other's heart. You know, he would share his heart, and she would share her heart. And some people don't have that understanding of a dad, you know. But that's his heart. You know, if he could, the reason he doesn't come in person, he did come in person, you understand. Jesus said he was seen me, has seen the Father. But he did that to show us the Father. But the reason that Yahweh, Holy of Holies, Ancient of Days, doesn't show up is our flesh couldn't stand in his presence and we would fry like eggs. Honestly, we wouldn't, you know, our flesh can't make it. Our spirit man can, but our flesh can't. So he had to give us a spirit. That's why he had to give us a born-again spirit, so he could have something to commune with, something to reveal himself to. That was the whole point. And in this vision, this little girl, they're hanging out together and just having fun. He's pushing her on the swings and they're just, you know, cuddling and hugging and like laying in the grass and looking at the stars and, you know, just talking about stuff. And she might say, you know, he might say, if you had a pony, what color would it be? And if you had a, you know, if you had a friend, what would that, you know, they're sharing each other. And then she would say, well, if you could have anything you want, what would that be? And it wasn't like it was a one-way street. She would say to him, like, is there something you really want? Like, well, if you could just have a dream come true, what would that be? Because, you know, God has dreams. He has a lot of dreams. And I feel like sometimes we need to start asking him what his dreams are. And, you know, sometimes what he wants is something really little and simple that anyone could do if they would ask. You know, sometimes the things he wants aren't, you know, we think it's going to be like lightning and thunder and maybe we won't be able, but sometimes he just wants something real simple. And most of all, what he wants is to hang out in the park with you. You know, most of all, what he wants is just, you know, we get so caught up in what we do and performance and measuring it, and you know, that's such a farce. You know, it really is just a fake out from the enemy. It's religion gone sour. You know, and so if we could just focus on him and hanging out with him, you know, with all our flaws, he knows our flaws. You know, he remembers our frame, that we are dust. You know, it says we are dust, and to dust we will return. And our outer man is pretty dusty sometimes. He's not shocked by that. He knows. He knows what we're made of. But he put something on the inside of you when you got born again. A beautiful spirit. Your born again spirit is utterly beautiful in the eyes of God. And he had to do that because our flesh was broken at the fall. You know, the system was broken, our flesh, it was broken. We were so broken, we couldn't hear properly from him anymore. Remember before the fall, they walked together, Adam and the Lord walked in the cool of the day. They walked around together, they talked about stuff, probably talked about all kinds of things. Trees, seeds, fruit, animals, stuff, stars, dreams, who knows. They probably had a good friendship. Immediately after the fall, Adam goes into hiding, aware of his shortcoming. Does that sound like anyone you know? Come on, think about it. That's what religion does to us. That's what we go into hiding because we're no longer good enough. It was a broken system. And to make it worse, our flesh lost. See, prior to that, Adam could see God face to face. Think about this. They hung out together face to face, as a man speaks to a man. Friends, they hung out together, not as in a mirror dimly. Think about this. When the fall happened, I believe, and I believe the Lord has shown me this, that we lost our capacity to think like we used to think. I believe that's when we stopped using the fullness of our intellect. I believe our nature went from thinking about God first and putting him first as our first thought to thinking about me first. Our nature changed. We lost our ability to love one another. And instead of loving communion with God, we grew to fear communion with God. You get it? That's the fall. That's what happens when you listen to the enemy. He was doing it then, and he's doing it now. And when he comes to say, you better hide from God, he's mad at you because you are no good. It's an old, old song he's been singing since Eden. And so, I think about what happened. Immediately, the blame game started, because Adam's all about me now. It's her fault. She's all about me, so that's the serpent's fault. It's all about me. We went from being about God first, in open communion, being able to hear and see openly, 100%. How about that? To hearing nothing, you know, hiding out, broken relationship, broken on the inside, believing the lie of the devil. We might call Adam hiding in the whole fig leaf thing kind of a form of religion, right? Because it didn't do it, did it? It didn't fix it. God had to send Jesus. Now, what's the very next thing we start to read about? Murder, right? Cain Cain and Abel, there's a murder. And immediately it's all about me first. Me, 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 me. That's the whole thing. And we get so bad that God regrets he even made man on the earth. He's sorry he even made us. How sad is that? Wipes it out with a flood. Finds one guy who's got a relation, who knows how to have a relationship. One guy who stays righteous. One guy who stays before the throne. One guy, Noah. And God says, okay, tell you what, I'm gonna wipe them all out. I'm going to start with you. You know the story. I'm really, really paraphrasing, but he wipes everybody out and starts over. But you know what he saw? It's no better. He made a promise, I'll never do that again. And then he even says, because the heart of man is evil continually, even from his youth. Like, I'll never do it again. The heart of man is wicked. Like even with Noah, this great guy that I started over with, guess what? That didn't fix it. I thought, you know, I don't know this, but you wonder if he had a hope that maybe somehow it would come out better. But you know what? Our flesh was corrupted. Our thoughts were corrupted. We were corrupt. So there has to be a plan for a Savior. I'm sure God knew about this before the foundation of the world. It wasn't like it was news to him. But the whole point of bringing Jesus into existence was because this nature, in its fallen state, which we are all born into, all of us, can never have real relationship with God like Adam had. Can you see that? Even if we're born again, we're seeing as in a mirror dimly through a veil. Why? What God did through Jesus was he said, this nature, I see it. He said it to Noah. He said, I'm never going to do it again. I promise I'm not going to do this again. Here's the rainbow, not going to do it again. But the thoughts of man's heart are only evil continually from his very youth. In other words, from the time he's born, right? Because he's born in sin out of the corrupt nature of Adam. So, what can I do? I'm going to have to figure out a way to give him a new nature. One that is holy and pure. One that can walk with me in the garden in the cool of the day. Are you getting it? The nature he gave you, Jesus died to give you a new nature on the inside so that you can walk with the Father in the cool of the day without the veil. You can hear, right? You can hear him. You can hear his voice now. And you say, well, I don't hear his voice. That's because you're listening in your flesh. You're listening through your intellect. That can't hear. Your intellect can't hear God, can it? No, because it's part of what? The corrupt seed. Our flesh, our personality, our emotions, all our stuff, if we try to hear God or relate to God or walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day, out of our flesh, we'll say, well, God must not want to meet with me. No, that's the whole lie. If you can see this, you will forever walk with God in the cool of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. Because the minute you said he changed the system, he tricked the devil, I think this is hilarious, he tricked the devil and said, you know, I'm going to trick him, I'm not going to let him know my secret, it's a secret. Right? He kept it a mystery, all those years, kept it a mystery, making a plan to restore us. But his plan wasn't to perfect our flesh yet. It was to give us a born-again spirit on the inside. And Satan never knew it. So he killed Jesus, playing right into God's hand. That was a plan of God. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I'm laying it down and I'll take it up again. It was the plan of God. Satan played right into it. Because he didn't know that what God was really doing, he wasn't just forgiving you. He was making a completely new you, like Adam was before in the fall, which is like Jesus. So this person that lives on the inside of you, A, that's the real you. So if you still identify with all your faults that are on the outside, you don't really get yet who you really are. If you're not born again, this doesn't apply to you. I think everyone in here is born again. But if you're not, you need to get born again. Because once you're born again, you are a new creation, a brand new creation, without all the faults, all the flaws, all the... Now, your flesh still has all that stuff. Jesus didn't change that, did he? When you got born again, your mind wasn't immediately renewed, right? If you had some emotional stuff, most people, that's not gone the minute you're born again. It can be. You can be set free from some, sometimes I've seen. But most of us, the change is that there's something new on the inside. Now think about this. That being, that born-again spirit, can fellowship with God 24/7, no matter what time of day, no matter what day of the week. You can go into, we could say, the Garden of Eden. How do you do it? In the Spirit. How do you go in the Holy Holies? In the Spirit. What does that mean? With your inner man, not with your outer man. So listen to me now. When your outer man is screaming at you, you're a screw-up, God's mad at you. No, 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 no. That's your flesh. God already knows your flesh is a screw-up. You're not trying to persuade God. Your flesh is perfect. And if you think it is, then we really need to have a teaching. Because even if you've been delivered of all the big stuff, come on, I was delivered of most of the really big stuff by the time I was late 20s, early 30s. Really delivered of all the, stuff. But you know what? We still have thoughts. We can still have a thought that is offensive to the Father. We can still have... Now, does that mean we don't work on that stuff? No, we work on it more, Paul said. All the more, because of his love, we do it all the more. All the more we work on it. But when the enemy says to you, you can't meet with God, or you just don't have it, see, it has to drive him nuts that your born-again spirit is a newly created being made in the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that your new self was created after the image of God's holiness. So that is where the communion happens. That's where the walk in the park happens. That's where every message should come from. That's where every sentence, if we could perfect ourselves, no one's there yet probably. But the more we get to a place where we can operate out of that instead of out of this, the more we will be able to love people, the more we will be able to win souls, the more we will be able to deliver a correct word, the more we'll be able to walk in His love or His compassion or His power or His healing, right? Because what we've tried to do is we've tried to do Christianity through the flesh, and the flesh can't do it. That's why Jesus came, because we can't. We never could. Okay? And so if you get a hold of this, if you can really get a hold of who you are on the inside, it doesn't mean we don't still work on perfecting our outside. Rather, more we work on it, not so we'll be acceptable to Him, but because of what He's done for us. My reason for not wanting to sin is because He died for me. So I wanna morph, I wanna recreate, repurpose, restructure my outer man so that I live appropriately for my King. I don't want to not live holiness just because I'm forgiven. No, that stinks. But everything you ever do, if it's going to work in Christianity and being a believer, being a follower of Christ, if it doesn't come out of relationship with Him, it won't work. And you'll forever be beating yourself up. Because everything that works comes out of relationship. Paul said, "In my flesh dwells no good thing." He said, "It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me." He's doing the stuff. He's doing the works. Paul got it. He understood. It's no longer Paul. He knew. Paul's flesh stinks. He got it. "In my flesh," he said, "in my flesh," Paul's flesh, "dwells no good thing, not one." And so where we delude ourselves is we think, well, I'm strong, or I'm smart, or I have this ability God gave me, and we try to operate out of it, and then we wonder, why isn't that working? Right? Because it's a work of the flesh. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap destruction. I hope I'm making sense. But if we can get a hold of this person on the inside that was recreated, not just forgiven, it's a brand new being, entity. It didn't exist before the moment you said, Jesus, I acknowledge you, you're the Son of God. I'm so sorry, forgive me of my sins. If you said something like that, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Come in and be Lord of my life. Come and live inside me. If you said anything like that and you meant it, something new was created. The real you. You were born that day. The real you was born from above that day. And so when people, if someone's in their 40s or their 50s and they get saved, and they think they should be mature because they're mature in the natural, you could have your PhD, but you know what you are in the spirit? A baby. I don't care if you went to seminary. I don't care if you're really smart. In the spirit, you're like a baby. You know what babies are like? If you put food in their mouth, they spit it out. If you put more food in their mouth, they dribble it down their bib. Because why? They have to learn how to do every little thing. Because they're in a new place. They're in this realm where, you know, they have to figure out how everything functions. Did you know that it's just like that in the realm of the spirit? Some dear soul, wonderful person was saying, well, I'm doing what you say. I'm trying to sit with the Lord, and I'm not here. And I'm like, I said, well, maybe I've done you a disservice. Let me explain something. Do you know how many months and years? I didn't just stand up one day and I heard God like this. It takes some time. Why? Because we're like a baby trying to keep the baby food in our mouth. In the spirit realm, imagine in the spirit realm, we have to learn to walk and talk and hear. Because what we've done instead, and I think, you know, I don't want to disrespect the church, but a lot of times the church is kind of taught to do service to God in the flesh. They've made it about outward acts. You know, I visited a denominational church with someone, and I kind of jokingly, you know, God bless them, hallelujah, but it felt like, lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, fight. Because they were saying, okay, now you kneel, now you stand, now you repeat this, now you stand, now you sit, now you repeat. I was like, wait a minute. No offense to anybody, but I had a little bit of a hard time feeling the presence in that. You know, the presence was there because he comes with me, he comes with you, right? If you're there, he's there. By the way, he couldn't leave you if he tried, because in the spirit, you're one with him. Yeah. I had to walk out of a movie once. A friend of mine wanted to go see a movie, and it was rated PG. It wasn't like R or anything like that. Looked like a good adventure movie. And my friend at that time, she does now, but at the time, she did not know Jesus. And I sat in that movie and I said, I cannot subject the Holy Spirit in me to this. Not happening. So I touched her shoulder. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, you stay and enjoy the movie. I have to leave. Of course, she followed me out, and it gave me an opportunity to explain something, but I wasn't going to subject my friend who's in me. Wait, you know, because he can't leave and wait outside the door. You understand? Because he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So even on a day when you think you're so separated from God, you're not. He couldn't leave you and forsake you if he tried. He couldn't. The only way you can separate yourself from God once you're born again is for you to willfully choose. Willfully choose to walk away and renounce. I know none of you are ever going to do that. Right. So this is good news. This is great news. You're one with him. Everywhere you go, he goes. Whether you feel it or not is irrelevant. Your feelings are kind of stupid, and so are mine. Feelings are dumb. Don't listen to your feelings. Your feelings, listen, Satan will tweak them one way and bend them another way to make you feel like. To make you feel like you're not pleasing to God, or you're not accepted in the Beloved, you're not welcome in the Holy of Holies. God doesn't want to be with you. I hate to break it to you, but he is with you. Couldn't leave if he tried. Not possible. Even when I'm screwing up, yep. That is why sin is so grievous, because you're sinning in the presence of God, whether you know it or not. Yeah. That's why sin is so grievous. Especially once you know him. You know, once you've been enlightened to understand that His presence is with you, it's pretty hard to sin because you know He's right there. All the angels are standing there looking. Come on. But it's worth it to have an awareness of His presence because everything is birthed. Everything that's good. Everything that's worthy. Everything that's worth doing in the kingdom, everything that has any power, any love of God, any compassion, any move of God, everything comes from the Spirit of God, from the realm of heaven, right? By the Spirit through what? Through a born-again believer that's yielded not to their flesh or their emotions or their guilt and condemnation, demons, or all that stuff, but is yielded to the presence of God in them, and is learning how not to listen to their flesh. You need to turn the dial down on your flesh. Some of you are still beating yourself up all the time. Good heavens, let's get past that. That's just a devil talking through your emotions and tweaking you. And as long as you submit to that, you'll be stuck with that. We need to lay it all down and move on. Emotions, shut up. Devil, shut up. Jesus has said, that's the end of it. Go right to the Word. Hold it up before the devil. And if he bothers you, you say, wait, I understand you like to hear the Bible. I understand you like the Scriptures, devil. Here, let me read to you. And then you start reading out loud. Here, let me explain some more to you. And you read some more. Oh, you still here? Oh, here, let me keep reading. And you just keep on reading. And you keep reading. And you keep reading. And you keep reading. And you tell him what to do and how to do it. He doesn't tell you. See, because as long as your emotions are responding to lies, when the Word of God says clearly, nothing shall separate you from the love of God, amen, then for you to say, I just think God's mad at me, is you are now calling God a liar. I said, if you believe that God is not with you because of something you have said or done, or you looked cross-eyed or woke up the wrong way, then you no longer believe the Word of God. You believe your emotions and the devil. Come on. Yeah. In its worst form, that's an idol, isn't it? Yeah. Anytime we believe something else, and I did it for years. I'm not pointing a finger. I did it. I was so foolish. Believed my emotions. Believed the devil. Didn't believe the Word. Was failing in every area. Well, duh. What did I really expect? Was led around by the nose, by my emotions, really by the devil who got a hold. Because when you have wrong emotions and you don't deal with it by the Word of God, he gets a hook in you and leads you anywhere he wants to go. Here's a scripture for you. I don't know why, but I just love this scripture. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Think about that. Come on. She's led around by the nose, by any... Come on. Anything on two legs comes by and she just led, I think he likes me. You better be careful with that stuff. They'll lead you right around by that. And like a gold ring in a pig's nose, so is a fair or a beautiful woman without discretion. Come on. Let's just say it like it is. Our emotions... We have to get our emotions. We have to rule over them. We have to cleanse them. If you need healing, get healing. That's a work of the Holy Ghost. If you're still not whole on the inside, God can heal you to where you don't need somebody to like you for you to be whole. I said, if you're still being ruled by your emotions in any area, God isn't condemning you. Emotions are a gift from God. He loves you and He wants you whole. You know why He wants you whole? Because then you're no longer subject to all these silly things. If you're not whole and you think, well, if I only had this, then I would be happy. That's a lie from the pit. That's not true. If only I had the approval of this great leader, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. That's all a trick and a trap. It's sneaky from the devil. It's a gold ring in the pig's snout, leading you around. If I just had this, if I just had that. Most Christians go through life being led around by their emotions and their intellect, and walking through series after series after series of failure, and then feeling like God left them in it. What the heck? Why didn't God help me? I thought we were supposed to be the blessed of the Lord. They heard a good faith sermon of all these things God, Jesus died for us to have. Why doesn't it work? Maybe God just doesn't like me. Maybe it's not true. Maybe the Bible isn't true. You see the problem? So people get all caught up in this emotional hoo-ha, and I used to do it, and it was all trash. It's all a work of the flesh, and it needs to go on the fire and be burned. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to last, I'm telling you. That's wood, hay, and stubble right there. According to the scriptures, we need to take heed how we build there on this silver or gold or wood, hay, and stubble. Now, wood, hay, and stubble will burn. You'll be saved, but as by fire. I don't want to be saved that way, thank you. I want to burn it now. I've spent a lot of time, and I plan to spend a lot more time before the throne saying, let's take out the trash right now. If I've got some wood, hay, and stubble, let's get it out. Let's get it out. If I'm not emotionally whole, let's deal with it. If I have attitudes that are not of you, let's bring, I'm not going to hide. Oh, no, I'm fine the way I am. That is the enemy of a Christian. I'm fine the way I am. God's forgiven me. Yeah, God has forgiven you. Yes, His presence is still with you. But to stay that way dooms you. That's why He doesn't like sin. Not because it separates you from Him, but because it will hurt you. It will keep you bound. It will keep you walking in failure. It will keep you from receiving the blessings. God hates sin because of what it does to you, not what it does to Him. Because He loves you, He wants you to walk in a way that's victorious. I'm telling you, He's a good God. But if you're going around being led by your intellect, here's something for you. God speaks to you and you put it through the process of your calculations. I've heard people do it, people I love. They'll hear God say a thing, but then they'll put it through the process of some kind of equation that's in their head, and they'll say, I don't think God would say that. That wasn't God. God wouldn't do that. Really? He wouldn't? See, sometimes God says things that will not make sense to your head. You have to learn the difference between your head and your spirit man. Because in your spirit man, you have the mind of Christ. In your head, we have this little fractional pea head, little size of a pea compared to God. But in your spirit, you have access to the one that created the universe. He already knows string theory. He already knows about black holes. He already knows about how the universe was created. He knows everything. The tiniest atom, the tiniest thing, he knows all about it. You have that in you, but it's not in your intellect. So who are you to say, well, I don't think God would say that. Really? You know that much about God? I don't. Come on, a lot of times he's told me to do stuff that was just flat weird. But if you get good enough at knowing, wait, you weigh it against the scriptures, you ask him to confirm it if you're not sure, especially if it's a big thing, he doesn't mind. He'll confirm it, he'll help you. But over time, you'll get used to the walk of the Spirit. Because what else is in your spirit? All things. All things that heaven affords. He's already purchased them, given them to you, they belong to you, they're already yours. The problem isn't God giving you the stuff you need, I'm telling you. The problem is we need to learn how to walk in such a way to access. I had an interesting encounter. A couple nights ago, God came upon me, and I can't describe it any better. It happens a lot when I'm in bed. God will just come upon me. It's like the Spirit of God. And I felt Him filling me, and it wasn't like He gave me time to go, is that you? You know, I plead the blood of Jesus. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? There wasn't time to test the Spirit. It was like, whoa. And then I'm like, excuse me. What was that? And so I spent some time with Him saying, hey, what I knew it was Him, but what was that? And then I had some questions. You know, me being me, I got questions. And I said, you know, you said all things are ours, and I know that's true. All of heaven is ours. It belongs to us by legal right. It would do you good to stretch your belief further to know that there's a lot more that belongs to you. But it doesn't come from the earth realm. Okay? It's as though you're inside you. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Okay, got that? The treasure is your born-again spirit. than baptized in the Holy Spirit, living in a flesh that's not so great. Amen? Now, we're continually being changed. Hopefully your flesh is getting better and better too. Getting healed emotionally, getting delivered of stuff, and that's great. But in the meantime, what's happened in heaven has already happened. What's happened in your born-again spirit has already happened. And the more you get a hold of this, the greater your life will be. Because you'll stop trying to do Christianity out of the flesh, which will never work. You'll begin to learn how to step over. Now, why is that hard for some people to do? Because it involves trust. It involves making God, God. Some people don't really want to do that because they don't really want to obey God in every area. Come on. Some people decide already how they want it to be, and they're believing God for that. But what if that wasn't what God's plan was? What if he had a better plan? I will tell you right now, when God brought Edgar Bailey to me, that is the last, I mean, I'm talking about the last thing on earth I ever want to do, A, was marry again, and B, was marry some old man who was 33 years older than me. Not happening in any universe. Not happening. The guy was like Abraham or something. And he was terrifically blunt. I mean, he had no filters at all. You never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. Are you kidding? I didn't even like the guy. I didn't like him. I thought he was abrupt. He was talking about all these miracles, which were true, by the way, but I thought he was kind of bragging a little. You know, I didn't get it. So didn't get Edgar. But here's what happened. I had an encounter one night, and it was no ordinary one. And guess what? It would have had to be no ordinary one because I was, you know, like, not doing it. But see, I'd already made one decision. God's God, and I'm not. So it doesn't matter what I think or what I want or what I don't want. He's God, and I'm not. He makes the decisions, and I don't. So if he told me to marry a real creep, I would have done it out of obedience to God. But I'd have had to make pretty sure. So I literally had an out-of-body experience, the only one I ever had, out truly out-of-body, went back in time 2,000 years to the night that Jesus was born. And it was a long, long thing, but it made it clear by the time I came back, and for some conversation with God, I knew that he had chosen Edgar to be my husband. Now, I was not in love with him. I did not understand him. I sort of liked him as a person a little, and I sort of didn't like him. Thought he was weird. But I married him because I knew that it was God. We were married for 20 years. I'm just giving this as an example. Every year got better and better, and by the time we were done, I realized how incredibly brilliant God was. God picked, the only man on earth that could have ever been married to me and not tried to squelch who I was. You know? Because it takes a pretty whole person to be with someone that's, you know, called to do certain things. Everybody I'd ever dated in my whole life didn't like that I was, you know, I'm kind of a strong person. You know, and in those days I worked at a firm, I had a big job and made a lot of money. One guy wouldn't date me once he saw an invoice on my table. One day, that's it. I made more than he did. You're out. I get it, I understand it, but you know, I was like, fine, single's great, no problem. I can go to prayer meeting when I want, and go to church when I want, I can stay home, I don't have to like do that whole thing. But after being married to Edgar, looking back, I'm like, oh my God, that was so brilliant. Because Edgar, because of him, see, God knew, because of him, I was able to fulfill things that I would never have been able to fulfill. I was able to become what I could have never become without Edgar. Edgar opened doors that would have never been opened to me. Edgar pounded them down. I mean, Edgar would like, you know, nobody wanted women preachers, certainly not me. Nobody. There was no church anywhere on the face that would let me come and say anything. Nothing. And Edgar, I remember being embarrassed, actually, because the Lord went to the pastor and said, You think I can preach you out of here, my wife? Boy, oh boy. I mean, he just, like, he wouldn't let up on the guy. I'm like, okay, that's good, dear, now. You know. But looking back, I see the greatness and the wisdom of God, and thank God I listened to the Spirit. See, God has a plan that's so far beyond what we get, because he sees your future. He sees who you're becoming. You're not done becoming who you're going to be. And don't throw the age thing at me. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're not done becoming who you are coming to be. Some of you know. You have an inward witness. It's not that you've heard a voice, but you have an inward witness. You know that there's something you're going to do on this earth and that you haven't done it yet and that you're here to do it and you're becoming something. Some of you know that with everything in you. And I'm here to confirm that's true. When you have that inward thing, that's God. And you can't shake that. You can't make that go away because it's God in you. That witness is the Holy Spirit. It's him telling you there's something more. There's something coming. There's something you're becoming. But how do you become it? Not by filing your nails better and becoming better in the flesh. You can polish your flesh all you want and your flesh will still stink. Because in it there dwells no good thing. What we have to do is reckon it dead. That's what the Bible says. That's your old man. Kill the thing. Kill it. Die to all that stuff. The best way to get emotional healing is by hanging out with the Holy Ghost. The best way. It's okay if you need to weep. It's okay to weep. Go into the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Begin to, you know, he'll help you. He'll actually have you cry out. Sometimes you go in the Spirit. Some of your prayer warriors, you know what I'm talking about. And you'll begin to weep or travail. And sometimes it's not you at all. It's the Holy Spirit. And you're praying, you're crying his tears. You're travailing his travail. But sometimes he will help you because some of us have been so blocked up emotionally, we haven't allowed ourselves to cry in 30 years. Come on. We've stuffed it down in there and held him talking to probably one or two people. It's stuffed down in there. We handle it. I'm strong. I got it. No, you don't. And what will happen is suddenly you'll be in the Holy Spirit and not even know it. You'll begin to weep, but he is allowing you to release some old stuff. Okay? And if you're smart, you'll just stick with it until it's done. And then you just ask him some questions. He'll help you. He'll heal you. If you need a little deliverance from a bad habit, you can't do it in the flesh but the Holy Ghost. He'll help you get set free. He'll show you why you got the thing. He'll show you what it's hooked on to. How did you get that? Or what was the lie that brought it in? He'll take you right to the moment. A life with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing journey and an adventure of ever learning, ever seeing more. I'm seeing stuff I never knew existed. I'm learning more. And then when it happens, I'm like, help me understand. He'll take me in the Word. He'll show me this is what, this is that. Oh, I had there that. I even knew that scripture, but I didn't really get it. It's a journey. We should ever be growing and learning about God. We should ever be being changed, right? And so it's a life. It's a life in the Spirit of God, which is what? It's your inner man. Your inner man has the mind of Christ. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Well, really, do I know all things? Do I know all math and all chemistry? Do I know all physics? Do I know the future? No. But in me, in my spirit, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven dwells in you. So in you there lives the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit, who knows absolutely everything about absolutely everything. So yes, you do know all things. Now, in your flesh, do you? No. What happens? You go into the Spirit. You got to learn, right? It's a different lifestyle. But the first thing you do, I'm just going to say this, the first thing you do to learn this is you have to make the decision, and some people won't, that he's going to be utterly God in every area. Because if he's not, you'll only be dabbling and you'll end up with some deception. Okay? People who say, well, God, you tell me what you want to do and I'll see if that's what I want to do. They just open themselves for deception. It's true. It is true. We have to wholly submit to Jesus, even if he tells us, I want you to do something, and that's not exactly what you wanted to do. But here's what happens. When you do that, you are most like Jesus. You are most like Jesus when you die to something that you really wanted. Because he died in order to bring resurrection life, resurrection power, whenever you go honestly and truly before the throne and you say, no, I feel like you're telling me to do this thing. It's really not what I wanted. But because you're God and I'm not, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this thing that was a desire of my heart. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to burn it up. I'm going to put it on the altar. I'm going to burn it. And if you want to raise it from the dead, you raise it from the dead. And if you don't, we'll go on because what you have will be better. See, when you do that, what are you doing? You're saying, I trust you with my life. And when you won't do it, what you're saying is, I don't really trust that you know better than I do. I don't really trust that you're going to pick a better spouse than I would pick. I don't really trust you that you know what's better for me than I know. You're saying, that's what you're saying. And so, a sold out person, let me just go back, I forgot to finish the story. Remember when I said this impartation came and I was like, whoa, what was that? Well, one of my questions was kind of theological, hallelujah. It says that you have all things are yours. And I believe that. I believe all he's given us, Jesus died to give us all things. But I also believe not all of them are manifested yet. Right? All the things in heaven have been given to us. All the promises are yes and amen. But we don't have them in the earth yet, do we? I'm trying to stretch your mind a little. So I was asking him, how does an increased impartation, I mean, do we have the whole Holy Ghost or do we not? And he said, well, you couldn't have the whole Holy Ghost because I'm living in every one of your brethren. So it's not like one package, only, you know. He said it's more like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, which you can walk closer into or further out from. The closer you come into his presence, the more you'll hear. And sometimes coming into his presence means leaving the presence you've known. Sometimes coming into his presence means leaving what made your flesh happy. Okay? So you say, well, that sounds like it costs everything. Yeah, but you get everything. Yes. Yeah, it costs some things, but you get heaven. And you get heaven on earth. You don't have to wait till you die. Okay? You get to manifest heaven on earth, and it ever increasing. It starts small, but in ever increasing proportion, you get to walk in heaven on earth, but first you got to die to the earth. And if the earth is too fascinating, if the earth holds too much fascination for your flesh, you'll never really access all that you have access to. Okay? Is that making sense? You have access to everything that heaven affords. You have access to everything that Jesus died for us to have, which is all things that heaven is. You've been given the card if you're born again. Legally, that's already finished. Will you access it, though? That's up to you. Okay? So it's like me. I have a library card. You've all heard about the library. I love the library. Our library here in Elgin is vast. It's just vast. It's vast. But because I have that card, it would be fair for me to say I have access to every book in that place. I have all things. I can go in there anytime I want and get any one of those books, any one of the films. I can use the computer lab. I can go get a class. I can even check out artwork if I have a card. It might be said, in a way, it's mine. Now, I couldn't fit it all in my house, and that wouldn't even make sense. So what is it, kind of an offsite storage area? Come on. Anytime I want, I can go walk into the library and check out whatever I want. And if I want 40 books, okay. I can carry them to the car, I can have them. Because what? I have legal access. But I have to not do something else that day. I have to get in the car, drive to the library. I have to walk in, I have to do the stuff, get the stuff, then I have to check it out, right? If I don't do that, me having access to it won't do me any good, will it? All of heaven, every promise is yes and amen. And if you're looking at promise going, oh, why isn't, you know, he said he was going to do this. Why didn't he do it? He did do it. But you have to access it, okay? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. Well, where is it? It's in heavenly places. You got to go to the library. So I know I'm talking about mysteries, and they're hard to talk about. They're hard to give English words to. But I feel like God is trying to open our understanding to comprehend that He has not put limits on what we can do in God or what He can do through us. He has not put those limits. We have, by our understanding. That's why it's so important. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because otherwise our mind will go, oh, no, I can't. No, that's not for me. Oh, other people have that. I don't have that. Yes, you do. But until you believe you do, you won't walk in it. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.